You're between races. Which track are you at, and what race are you calling?
I'm at Gulfstream Park down here in Hallandale, Florida, and we're about 20 minutes away from the eighth race today.
Now, I just can't believe your career. I read that you started at age 18 and you just kept going. How did you strategize this as an 18-year-old to make a life out of it?
Well, I don't know about strategizing. I think things just sort of fell into place, especially the last few years. I started in Maryland. That's where I grew up, and I was the assistant track announcer at the Maryland tracks, basically calling one race a day. I got interested in racing at a very young age and was able to get a break and get into the announcing business that way. And, you know, after a couple of years of doing that, I got my first full-time job in Birmingham, Alabama, back in 1987. And then, you know, started moving around from there. I was in Northern California for a while, then Boston and New Jersey. And you know, things kept moving in the right direction. And now, you know, I'm going to be headed to Churchill Downs, and I'm pretty excited about that opportunity.
Well, I think everybody in the Commonwealth is excited to hear your voice at Churchill Downs. I'm curious to know how you maintain a passion for each race.
Well, I think that that's something that just comes naturally. I love the sport, and I've been a racing fan my whole life. And you know, every race is different. Every single race has a different way of running. And you know, it's not mundane. It's not the same thing every time. And you just you have a new challenge every half an hour. You have to memorize all those horses' names and get them in your head and tell people what's going on. And then you get to do it again in another half an hour. So it's a fun job for sure.
Now I read that you came to national prominence with two horses with remarkable names at a race in 2010.
Yeah, that was an interesting story. I was calling at Monmouth Park Racetrack, which is in New Jersey, and by sheer coincidence, there were two horses in the same race named My Wife Knows Everything and The Wife Doesn't Know. And as it turned out, those two horses finished first and second in the race, and they were coming down the stretch together. And so I called that race, and I thought at the time that I would just get a few text messages from friends saying that they thought it was funny, but as it turned out, it became one of the top plays on SportsCenter on ESPN and started getting played over and over and got a million views on YouTube, and it went viral, as they say, and it turned out to be a pretty fun thing.
Well, it does sound like fun. I want to go back and ask you, how did you get your first break?
Well, I was my father was the fellow that put in the speaker system, the sound system at one of the tracks in Maryland. And so I kind of worked for him in the summer, but I was more interested in the horse racing end of things. So I ended up getting a job in the press box kind of as a gopher, you know, running errands. And I started listening to these different race callers around the country and decided, you know, maybe this is something I could do because it sounds like a lot of fun. And so I talked to a couple of people, and they were very gracious at the Maryland tracks to find a little room for me to just start practicing calling races into a tape recorder. And I did that for probably, several months, maybe even a year. And then one day, the general manager of the racetrack at Pimlico, Chick Lang, asked me whether, I thought I was ready to go. And he offered me the opportunity to start calling one race a day over the microphone. And it went from there.
So it wasn't really a break. You worked to get this first job, and that's a good lesson for listeners. Tell me about, I'm always worried when I watch a horse race that a horse is going to be hurt. Have you had to call races with injuries to horses?
Well, yeah, they unfortunately do happen infrequently, thank goodness, but when they do happen, it's something that none of us ever want to have to see or have to deal with, and it does take a lot of the excitement of the race call right out. I mean, naturally, you can't get excited about a race in which a horse has fallen, obviously, you're still calling the action, and then you're looking back to see what the situation is with the horse and, of course, the jockey, hoping that the jockey doesn't get injured, too. So there's a delicate way you have to handle that situation, and it's something that again, that is infrequent and something that we hate to ever see.
Yeah, I would imagine that you almost have to mitigate fear while telling what you see, you know, to sort of help the audience, the race goers, get into an okay frame of mind. Architecturally speaking, we're pretty proud of Churchill Downs. I suppose you think it's the prettiest racetrack in the nation, too.
Oh, Churchill Downs is—it certainly is, with the, you know, with the twin spires, and of course, you know, it had that the whole history of the old building, and then they did the additions to make it you know, more modern and more friendly for you know, a lot of people, for the Kentucky Derby, where the, you know, the big shots can hang out at Millionaire's Row and all that good stuff. So it is the best of both worlds, and it really is a neat place with unmatched history.
Hmm. So cumulatively speaking, how many racetracks do you call for now?
Once the new situation with Churchill Downs comes about, I will be the regular announcer. Just two tracks. It'll be at Churchill Downs and also at Gulfstream Park in Florida. So basically my schedule will be at Gulfstream from December through early April. Then I'll call it Churchill Downs in April, May, and June. And then I'll have July and August off, back at Churchill in September, have October off, and then back at Churchill in November.
What do you do in your off time?
Well, I've never had this much off time. I'm usually working more, so that's a good question. I'm going to try to probably do a little bit of traveling that I've never had a chance to do. And I have a few things that I have that I enjoy. I enjoy playing golf and, you know, actually going to other racetracks. I'm a big, one thing you'll find out about me, which is you won't see too much in Kentucky, I'm a big Boston Red Sox fan. So I do enjoy watching their games during the baseball season and, you know, trying to enjoy myself as much as possible with that time off.
Obviously, you have a very rich voice. Do you sing in a choir?
No, I do not. No singing for me. I don't know if anybody would want to hear it.
Well, I think so. Are you married? Do you have kids?
No, I'm actually single. This racing world, you know, you move around so much from place to place, and I've managed to stay single all these years.
Well, we're excited to have you come into Kentucky, and I sure do thank you for spending some time with me today.
Well, it was my pleasure, and I look forward to seeing everyone when I get to Kentucky in April.